Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I talk into a mic. It's all that I do. It's all that I ever want to do. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million members. Unlike other apps on Prize Picks, you against the number. No sharks, no competitive leagues. I've got picks for you tonight on Thursday as well as Friday. Hopefully we will hit on all of these and you will be able to 10 times your money. You can win, though, up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. $10 can turn into $1,000. NCAA tournament underway. NBA playoff races. We got hockey races. I understand I can barely keep up because I don't pay attention very much, but I know the Nashville Predators basically can't lose. It's hockey playoff season as we are rolling, and Major League Baseball season begins today for many teams, although my Atlanta Braves rained out against the Phillies. Prize Picks has something for everybody, no matter what sport you want to pursue. We are rolling into the season when everything is going, and you will absolutely love it. Again, I got picks for you. I'm going to give you a little bit later in the show. Sweet 16 underway, and we have got a lot of fun to be had. And I am giving you a bunch of picks out there. But in the meantime, download the app, use the code OUTKICK, deposit match up to $100. Code OUTKICK on Prize Picks, deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Sweet 16 Thursday night games. Let me be an old man here for a minute and continue to be an old man. And I got to tell you, the games are going on way too late. I'm going to have to drink more coffee. I'm going to have to will myself to stay up for some of these games that are not going to end till after midnight tonight. But here are my picks. Kelly Stewart and I did the fade. Clemson, Arizona, over 152.5. San Diego State, plus 10.5 against UConn. Alabama, North Carolina, over 173.5. Illinois, Iowa State, minus 1.5. Those are my four picks for tonight. Now, let me give you my Prize Picks picks. Thursday, these are tonight's game. Chase Hunter, more than 14.5. Caleb Love, more than 18.5. Over 31 points, rebounds, and assist for Mark Sears. And Armando Bacot, more than 16.5. That is Thursday. Friday. Friday's picks. I am going to be on DJ Burns. He has been on fire. DJ Burns has single-handedly carried NC State 5 wins in the ACC tournament, 2 more wins now in the NCAA tournament. I'm going more than 14.5 for DJ Burns. Zach Edey, I'm going less than 25.5 points. I think Gonzaga, Mark Few, even though they don't have a great, huge, big man, I think they are going to be able to limit his touches and scores. With Josiah Jordan James, more than 7.5 points. I think he will play well in a win for Tennessee over Creighton. And I've got Zakai Ziegler, more than 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists. That is Friday picks. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
By the way, I've already talked about it. I'll go ahead and give you my Friday Sweet 16 picks, too. I'm on NC State plus 6.5, Gonzaga plus 5.5. I'm actually picking the underdogs, and the underdogs have done awful so far this year. Duke Houston over 133.5. I think that we'll see some scoring there. And in the game that I care about the most, I've got Tennessee minus 2.5 against Creighton. Those are my Sweet 16 gambling picks. Now, several other stories that are out there. I haven't talked about this one yet, but I wanted to hit it. LSU women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey last week went off on the Washington Post over a story she said they were planning to run against her, threatened to sue them. It got tons of attention, and lots of people out there said, well, I don't know why she would even come out and speak out as aggressively as she did. I actually think it was a masterclass. I think it was a masterclass because so many media outlets and so many reporters are dishonest, and they are effectively political activists masquerading as journalists. And I think they have been angry at Kim Mulkey, who was at Baylor, now at LSU, fabulously successful national championship winning coach at two different schools. They came after her because they're not happy that she rightly called out all of the COVID BS. She talked about how ridiculous it was to be testing, for people to be wearing masks. I love Kim Mulkey because in an era when so many college coaches agreed with everything she said, she was willing to actually say it publicly. More power to her. She got in the crosshairs of the left-wing sports media. And so I really believe that's when they decided to come after her. And now they're criticizing her because she didn't do enough when Brittany Griner got arrested by Vladimir Putin and Russia. They're saying she didn't speak out enough. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Kim Mulkey has a direct contact in the Kremlin. Maybe Vladimir Putin was like, I'm keeping Brittany Griner in prison for violating Russian drug laws, which she did. She violated Russian drug laws. It wasn't like they just grabbed her on the street and put her in prison. Don't violate foreign country drug laws. Bad things happen to you, kids. Some people out there are saying they're angry at Kim Mulkey because she didn't do enough to get Brittany Griner out of prison. This is actually a talking point. And I'm sitting around like, does she have a phone into Red Square? Does she and Putin just like talk on the phone every now and then, and Putin wasn't going to let Brittany Griner out? Brittany Griner got traded for the Merchant of Death. Russia got the Merchant of Death. We got a mediocre WNBA basketball player who previously refused to stand for the anthem and hated America. That seems like the worst trade in maybe American history. Basically, we got fleeced like Thomas Jefferson fleeced France back when we had the big purchase, the Louisiana Purchase. Except we're on the side of France here. We were the Native Americans who took, what was it, $23 in trinkets for Manhattan, and we got back a WNBA player that really nobody cared about that much. And Russia got the Merchant of Death while they were in the middle of a war. I don't know about you, but getting the Merchant of Death, who is great at arms procurement, while you are actually in a war, is a pretty big deal. So I don't know why Kim Mulkey is under fire, but I think this is the way you have to fight in the media now. It used to be you just shut up. I think if you know a hit piece is coming, you should address it in advance. You should let everybody know the motivations of the authors in advance, and you should address it. This is going to stun you. I've had a lot of negative articles written about me. In fact, almost everyone that could ever have written a negative article about me has already written a negative article about me, so there's hardly any media left to write new negative articles. The Daily Beast wrote like a 5,000 word piece about me, about how awful I was. Politico wrote a super negative piece about me. The Washington Post has written about me. Who else has written about me? I can't even keep up with all the different places. Awful announcing. All these loser sites. You can go Google it. They've all written like 5,000 word pieces on me. And you know what happened? After every one of those pieces, my audience grew. Because I told you they were coming. I responded to them. I didn't pretend they didn't exist. I think you have to combat fake news head on. And I think this is one of the big legacies of the Trump era. Because I think Trump's going to win in November. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Trump's going to be off the stage. He's 77 years old. 20 years from now, I think the biggest legacy of the Trump administration is going to be that all the media outlets that claim that they were standing up for democracy destroyed their legitimacy trying to argue that Donald Trump was illegitimate. And this is a life lesson in general. When you decide that you hate something, you have to be very careful that you don't allow that hate to make you that which you claim to despise. Because I think Trump derangement syndrome has led to the destruction of the New York Times brand, the destruction of the Washington Post brand, the destruction of CNN, the destruction of MSNBC in many respects. And Trump has actually made billions of dollars. Truth Social has made Trump, right now on paper, more money than he might have made in his entire career. Trump is benefiting off the insanity of his critics. And I think that's what Kim Mulkey is pointing out here. And let me, while I'm talking about it, tie this in. There's a Fox News poll that is out yesterday. And I think the most significant part of that Fox News poll is a couple of things. The question is out there. This is the whole election to me. Trump, by the way, has never led in any Fox News poll, to my knowledge, in his entire career against Joe Biden. When the Fox News poll was done in October of 2020, Joe Biden had a 55 to 44 likability number. That is, 55% of people liked Biden, 44% did not. He had a plus 11 likability. In October of 2020, Trump had a minus 11 likability, 44% positive, 55% negative. So Biden, in that scenario, was plus 22, okay? Biden was 11 points positive. Trump was 11 points negative. Likability, Biden, plus 22, okay? What's going on now? Trump's numbers haven't really changed. This is what a lot of people are missing. Trump's perception in the nation has not really changed at all. In fact, Trump is up 1 point in likability and down 1 point in unlikability, 45% positive, 54% negative. Joe Biden is where things have changed. He's gone from 55% positive right before the election to now 39% positive, 60% negative. He is now minus 21. So Trump, in likability, is now, and I'm always difficult at live math, Trump is now plus number, right? Trump hasn't really changed. Biden has collapsed. Trump has gone from behind Biden by 22 points on likability to now being up by 13 points on likability. Trump hasn't changed in that process. It's just that Biden has collapsed. That's the election. And here's the second part of the election. Simple question. Are you better or worse off financially today than you were 4 years ago? Better off, this is the Fox News poll, 22%. Worse off, 52%. And white people, black people, Hispanic people, all 50% or more of the electorate says they're worse off today. Independents, nearly 60% worse off. College grads agree things are worse. No college people agree that things are worse. And in the suburbs, people agree that things are worse. That's the election. Joe Biden has collapsed in likability. And the question of, are you better or worse off than you were 4 years ago? Overwhelming majorities, white, black, Asian, Hispanic people all agree, college grads, non-college grads, suburban, rural, everybody. Joe Biden has united the country in that everyone agrees that they are doing worse off now than 4 years ago. That, to me, is the entirety of the election. But also, that's not all. Trump has a better feel for the American public right now. And you can see it today in New York City. There are three former presidents and one current president in New York City today. Donald Trump went to the wake of the murdered police officer, and the police officer who was murdered, his name is Jonathan Diller, leaves behind a one-year-old son. The man alleged to have killed him was arrested 21 times prior to committing this murder. 21 times. Credit to Tunnel to Towers. They have paid off the mortgage of this man's family, and they are going to try to help ensure that his child is able to grow up with the financial support necessary to help deal with the fact that he doesn't have a father anymore. Trump is going to his wake in New York City. The other three presidents, Joe Biden currently, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton, are attending a massive $25 million fundraiser. In the same city, Trump is attending the wake of a murdered police officer that Democrat soft-on-crime policies allowed his killer to be arrested 21 times and still be out on the street. Meanwhile, those three Democrat politicians, I don't think any of them have even mentioned the officer's name. They aren't going to the wake. They aren't going to the funeral. They will not address it. Instead, they're going to Radio City Music Hall to raise tens of millions of dollars from fat cats in New York City. If that isn't a perfect distillation of this race and why I believe Joe Biden is going to lose and Donald Trump is going to win, I don't know that you could have a better picture of a lost world than three Democrat presidents going to raise $25 million while the Republican goes to the wake of a murdered police officer who was killed in cold blood by a killer who should have never been on the streets that was actually released because of soft-on-crime policies. A couple of other stories that are out there. Credit to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Front page of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times both today, Disney has waved the white flag and acknowledged that Ron DeSantis is their daddy in their biggest state for business. Disney, you'll recall, tried to stand up to Ron DeSantis over a very reasonable bill that the vast majority of the American public supported, which said kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, there would be no discussion of gender-related issues or sex. I've got a third grader right now. He doesn't need to learn about birds and the bees. I would suggest that until you get to be like 12 or 13, there's no need to even get involved in any of this when it comes to public school or private school education, but particularly public school education. So the bill that DeSantis passed made a ton of sense. I supported it. Disney tried to label it the Don't Say Gay bill. They came out against it. Even Disney supporters said this was a bad move. Then Ron DeSantis said, as a result of you coming after me, Disney, and remember, DeSantis had actually been very pro-business. He allowed Disney World to open up. He made them billions of dollars. Disney World was open for a year while Disneyland in California was still closed. Ron DeSantis was a great business partner until Disney attacked him. And then he said, okay, if you're going to interject yourself into politics, we're not going to allow you to have complete autonomy from a regulatory basis in this Reedy Creek area where Disney World is located. We're going to appoint new people to be involved in overseeing development decisions made in this massive property that Disney has bought in Disney World. And Disney sued and said, we're being penalized because we decided to use our First Amendment rights. And they wagged their finger and all their media allies said, oh, DeSantis is going to get whipped here. This is a poor decision. He doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. And guess what happened? DeSantis was right. DeSantis actually was 100% in the right. And he now has been validated as Disney has dropped all of their lawsuits. They have agreed that the state of Florida has the right to newly appoint people on this board and that they have to get approval from them in order to be able to do what they want to do. And their attempt to put in a new regulatory framework, basically in the shadows, was not permissible. And they're going to have to be bound by, as everyone is basically in the state of Florida, normal regulatory process. DeSantis wins and wins big. And Disney now has admitted that they were in the wrong. And Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, turned his tail and ran. Really big win for DeSantis, such that even the New York Times wrote about it being a big win on the front page of their newspaper. And of course, the Wall Street Journal did as well. Finally, we're getting closer to the NFL draft. And as we get closer to the NFL draft, it's about a month away. The end of April is the NFL draft. As we get closer to the NFL draft, there is more and more of a discussion surrounding everything having to do with draft picks. Caleb Williams expected to be number one overall. He went to a USC basketball game with his fingernails painted pink, with a pink phone case, and some people say like some sort of lip gloss or lipstick on. And this has turned into a major discussion point on social media. Now, here's my thing. If my favorite team, the Tennessee Titans, had a stud quarterback who could win the AFC South and win a Super Bowl, I would be in favor of him painting his fingernails any color under the sun. I would be fine with him playing in full clown makeup or in drag makeup. If he could win football games and play quarterback at an elite level, I don't care about anything, what he does off the field, as long as it's legal, as long as he wins football games. But I do think Caleb Williams is making himself a bigger target by, in effectively the interview era, drawing attention to himself by the choices that he is making that have nothing to do with football. If he were my son, and I've got three of them, I would give him the same advice that I took from my dad and that I would give to all of you if you're in the process of going out to interview for a job. Don't make any choice that makes someone less likely to pick you that is entirely of your own design. In other words, don't put the spotlight on yourself bigger than it needs to be when you are in the interview process. Now, Caleb Williams is such a star and is so expected to be the overall number one pick that I think he's showing a degree of cockiness by the choices that he is making off the field. But those choices get looked at by your teammates, by the team, and let's say things don't go well. If he comes out and he plays phenomenal, as long as he stays roughly out of trouble, the NFL will make excuses for him. Jameis Winston went number one overall and he was accused of rape. Deshaun Watson got the biggest contract in the history of the NFL and 30 some odd women accused him of inappropriate behavior during massages. The NFL doesn't care about anything other than your ability to win at a high level, particularly if you're a quarterback. But if you find yourself not playing well early in your career and you want to get as much of an opportunity as you can, the choices that you make off the field can hasten a team's willingness to move on from you if you do not come out and play at an incredibly elite level. And I've always said this about Colin Kaepernick. People get all fired up about Kaepernick. I've always said, if Colin Kaepernick had been an incredible quarterback, he could do whatever he wanted off the field. NFL would have made excuses for him. He could have protested anything. I used to say on my radio show back in the day, when Aaron Rodgers was at his apex with the Green Bay Packers, if Aaron Rodgers had wanted to take a knee and say that he thinks ISIS is being treated unfairly, teams would have still allowed him to play quarterback for him, even if he had taken a knee during the national anthem to protest the fact that he thought ISIS was being unfairly treated by American foreign policy. People would have said, you know what, I disagree with him, but he's really good at quarterback. Now, I think it would have been overall bad for Aaron Rodgers' brand, as it is bad for anyone's brand to protest anything during the national anthem in uniform at work. But Colin Kaepernick's issue was not that he protested. It was that he protested and he wasn't good enough to get away with the distractions associated with protesting. So I would say the same thing to Caleb Williams that I would say to my own kids: be careful. Because you don't want to end up giving yourself less opportunity to succeed on the field because of the choices that you make off the field. And I think there are examples of guys that have done that. Johnny Manziel, I think, would say that himself. I didn't give myself the best chances to succeed because of the choices that I made off the field. And I don't think right now, who would you point to in the modern NFL era and say, this quarterback off the field at the age of 22 or 23 behaved in this manner? Now, I even saw some people say, well, Dennis Rodman didn't turn into Dennis Rodman until he was already a success in the league. Once you are a stud, then every league in America will give you more leniency, more leeway. Go back and look at Dennis Rodman and how clean cut he was when he came into the league. He didn't turn into Demolition Man and start to behave in the way that he did until he had already established himself as an incredibly elite basketball player. Everything that he did that became a huge sideshow came after he had already demonstrated that he was a stud talent. And so I would just point that out to all of you. Once you have shown that you can perform at an elite level, everybody gets a different standard. The guy who sells the most cars on the car lot can get away with things that the guy who sells the fewest can't, right? Standards are different based on performance. And so long as your talent exceeds your problems, you'll be fine. What I would say is there are warning signs about Caleb Williams, the crying in the crowd, the me-centric personality, knowing you're going to be on television and deciding that you want to paint your fingernails pink. You know you're going to get a lot of attention, even writing on his fingernails messages for the teams that he was playing against. All of those things make you a bigger target. Do they make it more likely that you're going to have success on the field? Not to me. And so if I were 21, if I were asked by a 21-year-old kid who's trying to make it become a 100-millionaire, I would say focus on your craft. If you're really good at football, everything else will fall into place. Peyton Manning never had social media. He's probably the athlete that's made the most money just about in commercials in his entire career. Michael Jordan never had social media. His shoes still outsell every single other NBA player combined who's in the league right now. Excellence sells. What you post on social media doesn't matter. What you do on the field or court does. That's the important thing. Be careful getting seduced by reaction on social media. All right, I'll be back with you guys in theory tomorrow. My name is Clay Travis. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been OutKick, the show.